Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Wake your punk ass up for the 93 shot. MC8's in the motherfucking house. Gia. And it ain't nothing but a Compton thing, y'all. And we ain't nothing but niggas on the run. And this goes out to my niggas. Yeah. A fucked up childhood is right the way I am. It's got me in the state where I don't give a damn. Somebody help me, but nah, they don't hear me.
Though. Here, you ready?
I guess I'll be another victim of the ghetto. Ain't no-
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. All types of good nights.
Did Billy June just yell at us on the intro song?
It sounded like it. It sounded like it.
Did he? You thought I was just playing it for shits and giggles, just letting it air out there. Are you trying to tell us that our guest is here, Billy?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Let him in. Why not? It was his birthday this past week.
That's right.
Was it? I think it was 5-1.
Cinco de uno.
I think it was Cinco de uno, as you might say. So we're gonna talk to our friend Pete Rock for a little bit. I've bothered him and badgered him.
Yeah, you did. You had to get him. You had to harass him to do the show.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a harass, but
yo,
I had.
You
to...
remember when we was popping?
Psh, man, people would just jump on.
Man, it was like, Will, when can I do one up?
When can I do one up? And now it's, y'all do one up?
What, when you're going to bring one up back? It's back. Well,
you know what? Got an interesting amount of really nice positive comments about last week's episode.
What was last week? I don't remember.
Our dark Father's Day episode?
Father, I don't have a dad.
Exactly. So that was sort of the theme of the show.
La, 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 la. What is this shirt you're wearing? D92? What is that? What is this?
Democratic National Convention.
Oh, okay.
1992.
You were there?
Of course not. This is just a shirt that was at my parents' house. Scythe, the reason I played Straight Up Menace is last night, my friend, like I said, my friend Chauncey's visiting.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, a key movie, a key name from the movie Menace to Society.
That's right. I never met a white Chauncey before.
Oh, yeah. And he's white.
I never met a white Chauncey.
Phew. He did 23andMe, or Ancestry.com. It came back as, like, you are the whitest person in history.
Where's Pete Rock?
Up. Oh, it says connecting to audio.
Okay.
Anyways, so I do want to bring up Menace to Society, Scythe, because it was the first time I'd watched it in full in a minute.
Wait, what do you mean? Recently?
Last night. We ended up watching it last night. So, yeah, it started out with...
You decided to watch Menace to Society last night.
Yeah.
Where'd you find the movie?
I went on Roku. When I want to watch an old movie, I search for the movie, and it tells you everywhere the movie's available.
Uh-huh.
And it was free on HBO Max.
HBO Max. Okay.
So when was the last time you watched it in full?
Not for years.
You're going to ruin it?
You're going to ruin the movie?
I'm not going to ruin it. But this was the longest gap I'd ever had without watching it.
And you're going to ruin it. Are you saying the movie's not woke? Is that what you're about to tell me?
Oh, no. No. Oh, no.
Are you trying to cancel Menace to Society?
I don't think anyone's going to cancel Menace. Actually, I'll tell you this. You want to know the new progressive thought that I had because of the times when watching that movie and, like, thinking things through more?
Yeah.
O-Dog, I always thought of as, like, this scary monster. And now I was like, you know...
He was hurt.
He was kind of just a product of his environment, man. Like, listen, that guy didn't have to say, "I feel sorry for your mother." He didn't have to say it.
You know what they say? They say hurt people hurt people.
No, and that, by the way, I'm not kidding though. That is kind of more how I see it now. And there
look
it is.
Who's here?
Oh my God, he looks somehow younger than us. even after celebrating, I think 51. Is that right, Pete?
That's right, boy.
Wow.
Proud. 51. You feel me?
Proud 51.
Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday, Pete.
What's up, Uncle Pete?
Thank you, sir. Thank
you. You know
Pete.
What's crazy? When you hit 50, it's such a milestone.
It is.
And it's a big deal.
I ain't get to have my party either, man.
Right, because we was in COVID. But 50 is so big. It's like, oh, my God, it's a really big number. And then it's like, nope, we got to do it again. Here's 51. Here's 52, and you're like, nah, this sucks.
Yeah, so I'm celebrating it in Jamaica this year. You know, okay. Don't matter if my birthday passed. I'm just going out there to party.
Oh, Pete, I just got back from Jamaica. I strongly recommend this.
Yep.
This is the vibe. This is a good, a very, very good thought.
By the way, one thing to Pete Rock before we start is very
go
important.
Go ahead, Cypher.
Pete, I want you to know something.
Okay.
I'm wearing a black T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And then the chair I'm sitting in is also like a black office chair.
Uh-huh.
It blends in with my green screen.
Yeah.
So I've been noticing on these videos, I look like I'm like hunchback, like this. But this is not me, guys. This is the chair. See how it disappears? So I want to make sure everybody on the OneEp video knows that I'm not like, yeah, what's wrong with Sykes? He needs a chiropractor.
Okay. What's good, guys? Good
man,
talking to y'all, man.
It's just been a long time, and we've been doing. OneEp's been back now for like, I don't know what, six, 7 months since like the winter time, and you've obviously come up many times.
Actually, I guess
you came up a lot when we were talking. We talked with Q-Tip around the Illmatic anniversary.
Mm.
We were trying to get Q-Tip to pick his four favorite songs on Illmatic.
Wow, yeah, that ain't fair.
We did a bracket for Illmatic.
No.
That ain't fair. That's not
it's
fair.
Not fair.
This, the whole album is tight.
It's, listen, I don't think anyone's going to fight for one time for your mind.
Nah, okay? Not at all.
No one's going to fight for one time for your mind.
Oh, my God.
What, Sife?
Oh, my God. Random OneEp story that I probably will tell later, but.
About that song?
I was with Dave Chappelle at this club called The Stand. I just made it because I was at another club and I ran over and I just made it right when I got there. They were bringing off the comedian, so I got to go right up. I do 10, 15 minutes on stage, stand up. I get off stage. This nigga Nas is sitting right there in the audience, yo. I fucking almost passed out. Because, Pete, you don't understand. All my rap fans and my rap friends don't really come to my comedy shows.
Yeah.
And I realize it's my fault that I don't tell them enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
But to get off the stage and see Nas sitting there, I'm like, yo, did you just see that? He's like,
that's
yo, you funny as hell. And I was like, oh man, that's Nas.
You are funny.
Son.
You're kind of funny, bro. I'd be cracking up watching.
Man, but that shit made my night. So yeah,
that's
so
what's up, bro.
And when you saw him, did you go, Nas, yo, really appreciate the kind words. By the way, one time for your mind.
I said, stop going around saying Illmatic is 10 songs. It's 8 songs.
The Genesis intro, not a song.
Wait. Y'all don't like One Time for Your Mind?
It's fine.
Yes, I like it in the scope of the Illmatic album, but it's no one's favorite song.
Yeah, you that's all what? I mean.
We come from like a funk aspect of music and hip hop, so that's why I'm into it. I'm into that beat. But, you know, I understand.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm
take
saying.
That take that further. What do you mean exactly when you say that, Pete?
Like, me as a musician and Large Professor being a producer, we love like funky shit. You know what I'm saying?
So it's the bone.
So to me, when I first heard One Time for Your Mind, I you know, I liked it. You know what I'm saying? I liked it.
I'm not saying I don't like it, but is it your favorite song?
Oh, it's not my favorite song, of course.
Illmatic, it's play straight through, no skips. It's fine.
Yeah, you're not skipping. I'm not skipping it, but hold, let me give it a second, try to hear the funky that Pete's talking about. Hold on.
Yeah, Pete hears it a different way.
Your mind has to run like mine, understand, brother.
Yeah, it's Illmatic. It's Illmatic. It's Illmatic.
What? Yeah, that is pretty hard.
For your mind one time, yeah, whatever. One time for your mind one time, yo, whatever. One time for your mind one time, hey, yo, nah, what up, kick that fucking rhyme. Check it out. When I'm chilling, I grab the Buddha, get my food, to buy beers and watch a flick, illin' and
that's some hood shit. Killing,
huh? Yeah, I get it. I actually kind of, that makes me think of it slightly differently from where you guys were. Wait, exactly. And were you like with songs like that?
Yeah.
Were you listening to and chipping in on everything, or did you keep it just to The World Is Yours and keep it moving?
No, me and Lawrence used to hang out a lot back in the day, so I heard a lot of the beats before, you know, we started, like I was hearing the beats, not thinking I would hear Nas over it. We was just making beats, like, yo, that shit is funky.
Where were you hanging out with Large Pro?
Besides record stores.
Like in Queens.
His apartment?
Yeah, like over there, Casino Boulevard, you know, like, Main Street.
I always wondered, like,
the Coliseum.
But, yeah. You drive from Mount Vernon. You drive. What car did you have back then?
I had the red Acura Coupe.
Okay, you got an Acura Coupe. So that's a 2-door Acura. You drive from Mount Vernon to Queens.
Yes.
Where do you park?
right in Large. He had a building complex, so I sometimes I would park on the street or inside the building.
And you're by yourself?
Yeah, with records in my hand.
And you hop out of the red act, you park on the street. Do you get recognized back there? Like, oh, shit, Pete Rock.
I mean, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But ain't nobody really, you know, it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's that nigga Pete Rock. We gonna get him.
Not even on some scheming shit. Just like fans. Like, oh shit, Pete Rock.
You know, yeah. Sometimes. Well, I remember when I went to the Coliseum one time, I was seeing a bunch of people.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and then there was a record store that me and him used to be in. Well, he used to be in, and he put me on to the spot called Green Line. And so I used to go up in there with him and be.
You'd be just digging for hours.
And he already dug up the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was his store. You know what I mean? So it was like,
there's two different ways to dig for samples, right? There's like shit that you know is going to have some real funky bass lines or horns or whatever. Shit that you know the producers, you even know the engineers, you study all that shit. But also, you could dig in the dollar bin and find just noises or drums or whatever. So
a record you don't even recognize, but the cover art is so funky that you just buy it and stumble into some shit.
Exactly. You know, that's one of the things we love about dollar bins is like you could take $10 and buy the whole box. You know what I'm saying?
And now you got so much shit. And by the way, I have learned, and I apologize in advance for the slight racism here.
You crazy.
I have learned.
Hold on. Record this.
Get ready. Record this. Get ready. Send this to all the gossip blogs. I have found that if you're digging for vinyl, particularly these days, for the last 10 years, it's been 45s for me. If I'm digging for 45s and I find black groups of the 60s and up until the mid-70s, who are signed, like it's a real record, like they were on a label and they put out music.
Yeah.
There's some good shit on there.
Of course.
Like
it is.
Every single. I could have no clue who it is.
But let's take the racism a little further because now you got funky white boys out here.
That is true. Well, and that's where the album cover reading can come into it. Because you're like, yo, let me see how this white guy's sitting and looking.
Yep.
It looks like he was trying to do some shit at this time. Like, I didn't realize.
It seemed like
so the
funky. Go ahead, Pete, sorry.
The funky shit was equal between black and white. You know what I'm saying? Because you had
sometimes, you're right.
you had the rock dudes doing psych funk mixed together, and that right there is just powerful. It's just some other shit.
Guys, it's funny you guys say that. Seems like it's hard to even put a phrase to it, but racially, it seemed like people were more together back then.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like musically.
Yeah,
like
musically.
Yeah. And like the
there was a fan. There was a fan. Like the Police sound like the Police because of Bob Marley and all them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like it was like kind of crossing more.
Well, the white musicians were heavily inspired by the black musicians. You know what I'm saying? And so they used to create a lot of. You hear Sting make reggae. Like
I can see where the tension might have happened though. Like the white artists influenced by like the black blues rock artists.
Yeah.
And then the white artists blow up.
Yeah. Of course.
And then maybe it's not even, they're probably like, I didn't mean to blow up more than you. I just loved the music and I wanted to try to make it. And then society made us go be
well, then, but that's why then you have to start getting into who did right by the people that they worked with or sampled. You know, I was, me and my friend were talking yesterday. My friend Chauncey was in town, and we were listening to Paul Simon, Graceland, which, if you remember, Sif, you may not remember this, Pete, you probably do, that he went to South Africa to make the whole album. And he told me, he was like, a friend of ours who was having, you know, who is very progressive and is definitely going to say very, you know, progressive of the time things, was like kind of giving it to Paul Simon.
Wow.
And Chauncey was like, well, wait a second. He took that group, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and made them international superstars.
Big time. Blew them all the way up.
They toured they've been on the international road for the next 30 years since.
Yeah.
Right.
I was
like,
you can't, if the person goes there, is inspired by the people, but brings the people with him.
Yeah.
Right.
And like when he did SNL, they were all on everywhere he went, they went.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think you can just crush them then for being white and being influenced by the music.
Mm.
Like,
I think it's about what did they do? I had a talk the other day. Oh, go ahead, Pete.
No, I was just saying it depends really on how the music hits your soul, too. It don't matter if you're black or white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, man. I mean, it matters in the social
construct
of it, but, like, musically, man, it's just, is this fire or is not fire? And also, fire is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
My fire is not this guy's fire.
Right. Everyone has their, you know, pick their poison. You know what I'm saying?
So hanging out with Large Pro, making beats.
Yeah.
But Pete, who have you spent more time in record stores? Like of all the famous people I know you've dug with, Juju, you know, of course, Extra P.
Mm-hmm. Buck Wild, Lord Finesse, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Who do you think, do you have anyone who you've definitely done it the most with? Like it's always been regular?
Probably Large Pro, you know what I'm saying? Because like he was, when I was DJing on BLS at 15 years old, I was playing joints, and then he brought his record up to me, which was a song called called Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, it was a joint called
Roger Do His Thing?
No, not Roger Do His Thing. This was the very, 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 very first main source.
Yeah.
Was main source?
Where he sampled the James Brown Chicken joint, the song called The Chicken. And, that was the first Large Pro single ever, and I was playing it on the radio, so that's how we got acquainted, and then you know started hanging out and you know digging for records.
Oh, you said you were just hanging out?
No, I mean
I'm just kidding.
They came up to BLS. Source came up to BLS.
I meant this, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm just hanging out.
Oh yeah, that. But and, yeah, that was. That song right there that you just played was a time where we were heavily hanging out, and I was always in Queens, and it was always in Mount Vernon. You know what I'm saying?
Were you still hanging out a lot when this got made?
Yeah, we did that. We did that together. We did way more stuff together. We got this one joint, but I can't find that we did that I did for him.
Okay.
I forgot the name of it, but it was banging.
Wait,
banging.
You did You did something on Main Source. Vamos a rap.
Co-produced. Oh, I just gave him the sample. He did the beat. I just gave him a sample. You know what I'm saying?
Look at this.
Who did
now,
the rap
world? Why
would
you give him a sample? Why wouldn't you use it for yourself?
I don't know. We was just trading samples back in the day. You know, when you young, you know, you young in this business, you like, everything's fun. All right, I'll trade with you. Or I like that for this. I got this. You want trade?
Did you hear the sample and be like, oh, Large would sound good on this more than CL or more than someone else?
I think when I heard the sample, I felt like Large would sound best on that.
Right. So you hear a sample, you be like, I don't even got to make the beat. I think he would sound good on this.
Yeah. Because I already know how the beat's going to sound in my head once I find a dope sample. So
right.
I could almost
You just said something that I've been saying a lot recently. Like, it was more fun back then.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if that comes with age, with experience, with being fucking, you know, learning the business and seeing how shiesty it is.
Yeah.
I'm really trying hard. Mm-hmm. I'm really focusing lately in my life to have fun.
Yes.
Have fun in
especially
what we do.
Especially now. You know what I'm saying?
Like, especially
you
know,
you gotta try to get what's the best things out of life, regardless of what's happening around us.
Real quick, just one Large Pro, one more thing. You did the rap world, or he did it, or you guys literally split?
We both did it. I did the basic beat. I did the drums and the bass line and the Nautilus sample, and then he put in the Marvin Whitney screams and the other sample. I don't want to be out here snitching.
Don't snitch.
But
okay,
the in the world, you know, he put that. He put that in there. That's what made it the song, though.
Well, that song was
I hate Nautilus.
Yeah, it's been Nautilus used so much, but it's such a dope song.
No, I hate it. I hate it.
It goes.
Why do you hate it?
Nautilus.
I'm kidding, guys.
In my mind,
I'm kidding.
You're kidding.
Nautilus in my mind goes with any beat you make. It don't even matter.
Nautilus is the first. Like, I had a couple of samples. Like, my mom had some records. Like, my mom had the JB's Doing It to Death.
Okay.
But the first record I bought with my own money. I wanted a sample was James Bob James 1 with Nautilus. Like,
wow.
That shit, Nautilus is never, I can never not listen to the whole thing. If it comes on, I gotta listen to the whole shit.
Oh man. What's crazy? I bought my very first record I bought with my own money with my dad.
Yeah.
Was a 45 called Same Beat by the JB's for 50 cents.
45.
I was only a little kid, and as soon as I bought the record, I had my Fisher Price with me, and I popped it in there and was walking around playing Same Beat.
That's fire. You ever heard the Kenny Dope Masters at Work remake of Nautilus?
No.
You never heard that?
No.
Yo, you know Masters at Work, Kenny Dope.
Yeah.
They remade Nautilus on like this house kind of mixy album.
I gotta hear it.
They killed it. You see that, Rosenberg?
Hold on, I'm looking for it.
Yeah, it might be MAW or Masters at Work.
Yeah, I got to speak to Bob James. You know, I got to speak to him. He's real cool.
I saw him on YouTube recently. Like, he's like, yeah, sample me, please.
Yep.
Sample everything.
Yeah.
Do you mean Syph? Is it this? Let's see.
Is that, what does it say? Masters at Work?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nautilus. Masters at Work, Nautilus.
Nautilus, yeah.
06.
Makes no sense.
Fire, bro.
That's hard.
Hey, Al.
Mm-hmm. That's
that kind one. Of fire,
the,
right?
The original is Idris Muhammad on the drums.
Man. Yep.
What's Idris Muhammad from?
He's a jazz drummer.
He's a dope jazz guy. Yo, all he's those been, records.
He's been
bro,
around
like,
forever. He's been
they're all on
forever.
Each other's albums. It's like
yeah,
it's fire.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's like and jazz they play musicians on each other's were like, stuff. It's like jazz musicians were like Wu-Tang back in the day. Like, okay, right. We're gonna do this. Is my album, but yep. We all just play, and then this is your album, but we all just play on it. Like,
yeah, they didn't. It wasn't no egos or nothing like that involved. Everybody got together and got busy.
Pete, I was randomly watching Menace of Society last night. When I'm trying to see. Trying to see if Death Becomes You was on. If they threw that on,
we were on the only set of that movie when they were filming.
Really?
Oh, it's not yeah. Available.
Why yeah. Is that?
And because they were wrapping up, it was the last few shooting days, and they invited us to a party at Universal because we're on the soundtrack and everything. So,
wow.
So right after the movie wrapped, we got to hang out with everybody on the set.
Now, but here's my question: at that point. Had you seen the movie?
Yeah.
So you'd already seen it?
Oh, have I seen it before? No, I haven't seen
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So, like, at the party, you didn't realize when you meet Lorenz Tate that after you see him as O-Dog, you're going to be like, oh, shit.
Exactly. Him, Kane, MC8. It was fun, man.
Now, this may not blow Pete Rock's mind, but let me see what Syfe thinks. Syfe, without thinking, just tell me. How old did you guess MC8 was in Menace to Society?
Man, back then I don't know.
Or don't even don't think about it that way. Think about the character when you see him as the character that he is. Like he's the OG with the Jerry curl,
32-year-old guy.
The AWACS, right? 32. Yeah. MC8 was 21 when he shot that movie.
Shout out to my man 8, man. That's my guy, man.
Yo, that was so cool. I thought in that moment because MC8 at that point was so hot, but on like on the East Coast, I don't know if anyone did. Frankly,
MC8
have any
was
idea.
Hot already hot musically though before Menace.
That's what
so,
I mean.
So to see him in Menace acting, we're like, oh man, this dude is on top of the mountain.
Right, and it was like he was. I already thought of him as super cool when he was in Menace, but you didn't know him as a Menace kind of got you to really feel another level of connection to him.
Exactly.
No, but there, you know, this is always a thing that we always talk about. Me and Rosenberg always talk about Video Music Box.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph McDaniel used to always play
CMW,
Compton's Most Wanted. So, like, there's, like, this weird thing. Like, maybe it wasn't big on the East Coast, but New York, we always had a in to certain records with Video Music Box, even more than BLS and Kiss playing songs like Ralph, because Ralph not only was about the song but about the visual, you know so he would play shit that was like what we would consider maybe a little left field, like West Coast.
No, you're right.
Whatever.
So that's probably what makes a lot of people familiar with a lot of artists.
And to speak of West Coast, I was playing a DOC a lot, like Funky Enough. I was playing that on the radio. Killing that.
And that's such an overstated thing from that period, too, is like, I really feel like hip-hop at that time, until the Coast thing was made a thing, fans just listened to everything. It was just a matter of what you got exposed to.
Yeah.
But, basically. Like, you're right. People like the DOC was hot on the East Coast. Everyone was playing that DOC tape.
That joint, when that joint dropped, man, no one's ever touched that Foster Silvers like that. You know what I'm saying? And we thought it was like, to me, I thought it was Boom Bap New York, if you ask me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It was back then.
And then when I used to hear them say, like, you know, wasn't no DJs in New York playing West Coast music? I was.
Yeah, there was a lot playing.
You know what I'm saying? Chronic, DOC, Eazy-E.
Bro, another thing is like when Tim Dog made Fuck Compton.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of New York niggas wasn't on some Fuck Compton shit. It was just a hard beat.
Yeah.
Like, they just liked the beat. Like, it was on mixtapes, and you'd be like, the beat was hard, so you bopped to it. But, like, we didn't necessarily hate Compton.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I wasn't.
No, and not only that, People thought it was novelty. It was like Funk Compton was a cool beat, and it was like it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone was. Pete, you would know better than me. Riding around serious about it.
I didn't take that record serious at all. You know what I'm saying? Because nothing really happened after he dropped it. To my knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Because real beef, someone's coming for you. You feel me? Like if this shit is real for real for real, I don't play with none of them West Coast dudes like that. You know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah, I was just so amazed when I looked it up and saw that 8 was 21 then, because think about it, he put out Growing Up in the Hood on the Boys in the Hood soundtrack, which is 3 years before Menace.
That's crazy. It
sounds like he had a tough upbringing.
Boys in the Hood soundtrack was gangster though. That shit was popping, and that's when the rollout of those movies started happening, from Deep Cover, Menace to Society. You know, all the movies with the hot soundtracks.
Yeah, soundtrack.
I mean, Poetic Justice and Who's the Man, all that stuff too.
Oh, hold on, Billy June, hold on. That is the Syph. Watch what we're doing here. That is the free version of Pete Rock. We kept him on for longer than that.
Oh, I see.
Talked about other things. Like, there's something. Syph, you want to hear that Pete Rock? You want to hear Pete Rock and Sypha Sounds arguing about BPMs? Well, you got to go on Patreon baby.
Hey, no, I'll always win that battle.
So, we got into more stuff with Pete Rock. He stuck around for a while. And if you want to hear the full version with Pete Rock, which ended up being at close to an hour, you got to sign up for patreon.com/JuanEpIsLife. Do that right now. But Syph,
look at my headphones.
Also want to
look at my green screen. Look at my headphones.
No, look, your whole head becomes green.
It's crazy.
I wrote down the things I wanted to talk to you about today.
Okay.
All right. And shout out to everyone who sent us the nice comments and supportive comments after last week's very emotional "You Can't Afford to Miss" episode. All right, so here are the four topics. You tell me what you want to do in order. Comedian on my street, the picture that Syph hates, Doja Cat, or keep your heads ringing.
let's do comedian on your street. I'll take comedian on your street for 400.
All right, that one's really quick.
Perfect.
Yesterday, outside my building on Riverside Park, Stand Up New York was doing some stand up on the street. Uh-huh. I went outside and listened for a minute. Yo, it's so terrible listening to someone bomb. It is so unpleasant, yo. And when they're bombing and no one's even there to really pay attention, it's like just people sitting on the street, half paying attention in park benches, and no one chuckles.
Wait, this was out in a park?
In Riverside Park.
Yeah. They do a lot of park shows.
And people are just sitting in benches. Yeah. And there's someone there with a mic. Yeah. And I was watching full jokes, beginning to end, not a chuckle.
Who was it? Do you know? Like,
no. I don't want to. Even if I did, I wouldn't want to say it.
Black, white, girl, guy?
It was a white male.
White male, scruffy hair?
I'm not going to go further than that. I'm not comfortable.
Why? We love bomb stories.
I don't know if it's, in this particular case, Syph, I don't know if it's a bomb story.
So, let me explain something that was going on there. Those park shows, there was a lot of park shows, especially during the pandemic, quarantine, lockdown, all that shit. The thing is, the level of experience you need to have to rock a show like that is not the normal level of experience more younger comedians would have. So, it's hard to, like, yes, you want to get on stage and do your jokes, but you also got to read the room, right?
Or in this case, read the open air area with benches.
I did a lot of those park shows, and I seen people just go up and just try to do their material, and I'm like, the setting is not conducive for what you're trying to do right now. Now, if you just want to do, like, open mic style because you got to say it out loud so you can hear it, okay, cool. But if you're trying to entertain this crowd, that's not the way to go. You got to hit them with some, you got to understand the environment. Mention what's happening around us. You got to be able to freestyle. And a lot of those kids can't freestyle.
Billy June just sent us the flyer for this event because he's a piece of shit and won't let enough be alone or whatever the let well enough be alone. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So yeah, I think I know who it was.
The flyer?
He sent it to our group chat.
Okay, let me see. Let me see if I know who it is. Hold on.
Because you can narrow it down.
Yes.
You can immediately take out two people.
I don't even know any of these people, so.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I can see, though, how that would be hard because it would be a different thing. Do you ever just get annoyed? You're probably not in a lot of group chats because I could see you hating groups.
I'm in a lot of group chats, and I get annoyed.
Yo, bro, sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you just look and there's like 30 things that have been said, don't you have this overwhelming feeling of like, fuck you, leave me alone?
And I'm the worst in a group chat. I'm the worst.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. I'm in a group chat. I'm in a group chat. Let me tell you real quick. This group chat started with the Beanie Man Bounty Killer versus.
All right.
We had a group chat, and then we had a Zoom meeting. We had a Zoom together while we all watched Beanie Man and Bounty Killer on Versus on another device.
Okay.
And it was amazing. But hold on.
In that specific moment, it was amazing.
Correct. How do I find out who? Okay. Cardinal Official, Dreddy, who's a big dope-ass producer. Estelle, Jester, who is a DJ from Toronto, one of Cardinal's boys. Melanie Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
My boy Prince, who's another one of Cardinal's friends. KB, Max Glazer, and Just Blaze.
Okay, that's good. And good, I'm guessing it stayed to events.
Good people in here. It's Caribbean based. There's a lot of memes, a lot of Jamaican memes go in this group chat.
How often is it active?
Super active.
Oh, so sometimes you're just like, yo, shut the fuck up. I love
you. It's on WhatsApp. I'll look. There's like 42 messages on WhatsApp. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I know. It's a very weird feeling because I feel like people are bothering me even though all you have to do is ignore it. But it's like, no, but I see the dot, which tells me there's a conversation being had. Yo, my college friends one is like, it's like only about sports. It's so sad. It's just like, hey, did you hear Maryland's getting a new recruit from Virginia? Aren't you excited? And I'm like, oh.
But now, do you think this, when you're in a group chat with what I call civilians, do you feel that we're annoyed because we're in the entertainment business and this is what we do all day long, where this is their entertainment? You know what I mean?
Yeah, to some degree, but people from every walk of life and vocation can be annoying in group chats.
Yeah. I agree.
It just depends.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the comedian subject was quick. All right. Okay. The next one. What do you want to hear next?
We gotta go. Because
we gotta hurry up here.
The picture is important. So should we save that for last?
All right. We'll get to the picture last. We'll end the show with the picture.
Doja Cat.
Unless you have something else you need to get to. Doja Cat. Tyler and Doja Cat dropped this week. The Tyler album's fire. Sife, do you know what Tyler did on his album?
I heard it's dope, but what'd he do?
That he has DJ Drama on it?
Oh, yeah, somebody told me that. But what, it's his
so
album.
So he made it feel like...
He made it feel like a Gangsta Grills mixtape?
Yeah.
Pull up, black boy, hop out. Shout out to my mother and my father. Hold up! Hold up! I've never seen it like this. That's what my mom was saying. She was crying and shit. She was just like, this shit is beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. You always keep the picnic blankets in the back because you never know.
You never know where you're going to end up at.
Okay. Now we ready.
Rolls Royce pull up. Black boy hop out. Shout out to my mother and my father. Didn't pull out. MSG.
Sife, isn't it hilarious that Tyler turned into the guy that he used to hate me for being when we first met, when he used to always make fun of me and call me, "Oh, no one's, you're old, no one gives a shit about your boom bap hip hop and vinyl." Now he's like a vinyl collecting, boom bap making douchebag.
I think he was just fucking with you. He was always that.
No, no, he was. He always
he
loved
was
it.
That.
He knew he was that. He knew he was
he
that.
He knows exactly. He's like a grown middle school kid where, you know, those middle schools that you'll see on the train and be like, "Yo, look at your man's sneakers, yo." Like, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Yep. So that's Tyler, but the Doja Cat album. I got to listen to it again. I don't know how much I love this album relative to
other... Why is Doja Cat a big deal?
I just love Doja Cat.
You do? I don't know.
I think she's so... Yo, Syfe, Doja Cat is so ill as a rapper, but she makes pop and she sings a lot. Now, here's just the one thing I want to say about this. I tweeted yesterday that Doja Cat might be the nicest like commercial MC this side of KDOT, but no one's going to appreciate it because she makes pop records. And a lot of people hit me with the gotcha moment of like, "That's what Nicki was doing, you piece of shit." And everyone thought they had a really smart point, to which I just want to say, though, this Doja Cat and Nicki Minaj are two totally different artists who, at the time at which they're making their music, like time and place, and not only time, place, and quality of record you're making all matter. All matter. So it's not, you can't just say, "Well, if one person made pop music and another one, blah, 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 it's all the same. You're such an asshole." Doja Cat makes pop records better. Like, Starships wasn't a good song. I know it did really well, but it was a whack song to me. Doja Cat makes pop records that are fucking fire. Melodies, just well-done pop songs.
But she can rap.
Do I wish that she would rap more? Yes. But I'm just telling you this right now. When Doja feels like rapping, there's not a lot of people rapping like her. She's fucking good, Syfe. You should give her a...
I'll give it a listen, but where do you find the rap Doja Cat records? On the album?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, on both of her albums, on the last album and this one, there's ones of it. But I'll give you a taste of one where she hits at least a couple flows real quick, and then we'll move on. But I really fuck with her. Here we go. Yeah, you didn't expect that, did you?
One song from her.
Man, this happened 1, 2, 3 times too much. These dumbass niggas.
Niggas ain't shit. Come up in your crib, all up in your fridge. Can't pay rent. Look at what you did. Listen to your friends when they said niggas ain't shit. Cause niggas ain't shit. Come up in your crib, all up in your fridge. Can't pay rent. Niggas ain't shit.
You could say that again. Niggas is square like Madison. I can't even really get mad at them. They fall, then I got a face palm. Shook them like an 8-ball and it's embarrassing. 10-page checks, should've wrote a book. Could've made a bag, but he broke. And he still waiting till I could chill. And he barely think I'ma get back to him. Doing too much, relax a bit. Acting like that cause your dad's a bitch. Must be the way that the planet is. Must be your face cause snatch your dick. I'm a freak, not a masochist. Should've known you had the baddest bitch. Left on red.
Okay. Okay.
So it's not, so it's hard for people because she's making songs that are so girly and poppy, and
even like even though I can tell like the way they're recording it is like that very new age pop sound.
Yes. So I understand why people aren't going to dial in, but for whatever reason, I ran into a friend 2 years ago when her last album came out, who I respect in music a lot. And he was like, "Yo, have you listened to Doja Cat's album?" And I was like, "Nah." So I started listening to the last one right then. Then when I met Natalie, she's a huge Doja Cat fan. So I've just ended up hearing it a lot. And I was like, "Yo, this chick can fucking rap." Anyways.
She's writing them?
I think she writes all her bars. Yeah, 100%.
Where is she from?
And she started L.A. She's like half South African. She's half Jewish.
Oh, that's not right.
That yeah, I swear.
That's not a mix that can happen.
It is. It happened. All right, here's an important one, Saif. Important yeah. one. Have you ever thought about how much keep their heads ringing sucks?
I have never thought that. It's funny you say.
Do you think it's
funny you say that?
Do you think it's good?
It's funny you say that because, yes, I think it's good. I love the beat.
Yep.
The beat yep. drops. It's hard.
Yes. Buck, 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 booyaka shot.
I don't ever play it.
Nope.
And don't want to play it.
No.
I don't put it in my West Coast sets.
Let's just see what happens. Let's listen together and hear what happens. Here, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
What up? This is Dr. Dre.
Good start.
The party's going on.
No doubt.
Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, shit. You're driving.
Keep the heads ringing.
What?
I don't mind this.
Hold on. But someone said, you know, this sounds like it almost sounds like ring ding dong, ring a ding 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 dong. They said, fuck you, put that in the song. Ring ding dong, ring a ding 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 dong. Okay. You're good with it right now. Okay. So I'm out already on ring a ding ding dong. I'm out. But if you want to stay,
the music behind the ring ding dong where he added
fire.
The keys and shit.
Yeah, you know, the music's still fire okay. there. That's why, truth, fine, you know what? I'm not out yet. I'm still there, even though I'm like thinking, I'm like, why am I saying ring, ding, dong, ring a ding, ding, okay. ding, dong? Let me stay and see how okay. far we go. Hey, you, sitting over there. You better get up out of your chair.
You can't.
Here, okay.
You can't read the lyric sheet.
No,
you can't
no,
read the lyric
no,
sheet.
No, okay. All right. Let's see where Dre goes. Okay. 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 Ice Cube diss. More than a stealth bomber. Like a flying saucer or a 747 jet. Never forget, I'm that nigga that keeps the whole panties wet. The mic gets smoked once you hit a beat kick. We groove so funky, they come with a speed stick. So check the flavor that I'm bringing. The motherfucking DRE. I'll keep the motherfucking beat so funky, they come with a speed stick. That's deodorant talk, baby. That's that
Who
deodorant talk.
Who wrote it? Who wrote the lyrics?
Well, just hold on. Let me just give you the best part. So I could collect respect, plus a check. Now I'm fin to get into my men to and take care of this business I need to attend to. Cause my rich do, and this rap shit's my meal ticket. So you goddamn right, I'ma kick it or get evicted. I bring terror like Stephen King, a black Casanova, running niggas over like he said. I bring terror like Stephen King, and in the background it went ree ree. Did you hear that? Yo. Fame. When I rock the spot, put the flavor I got. I get plenty of ass, so call me an astronaut. You gotta get out now. Are you out now? I get plenty of ass, so call me an astronaut. You're still there.
The beat is too fire, bro. The beat is too fire. But remember,
that's why whenever you hear this song, you hear it for the first minute and you're
remember,
out. That's it.
I've said this for years and years and years. I'm beat first.
I am too.
Like, the lyrics are just it's just a melody to the beat.
Listen, I agree, and that's why I don't actually hate the song, but when I listen to what he's saying, I'm like, I hate this. Why are you saying
Wait,
these things?
Look up who wrote it.
I'm trying
look
to
Look up who
right
wrote
now.
It. Look up the writer's credits.
Oh, God, if you read these fucking lyrics,
No, you can't
sick.
Read the lyrics. You cannot read those lyrics. ass like an astronaut. Right.
I get plenty of ass, so call me an astronaut. All right. Right, songwriters, Andre Young, James Anderson, Sam Anderson. That's Jay Flex, a former rapper on Death Row. Sam Anderson is Sam Sneed.
Okay, maybe was that his brother?
And Angela Brown is the singer. Oh, that's Angie Stone.
Angie Stone?
It can't be. Is it the Angie Stone?
I remember this beat was like a Sam Sneed.
Yeah, this is the Angie Stone who wrote on this. And maybe he was performing on
it. She sang it? I mean,
let's see.
This is the Dre.
No, it's not her singing, just writing.
This is the Dre
of pre-Chronic.
Pre-2001, yeah.
No, listen, it was a rough period. Like there's
been there, done that. The team wasn't right.
But can I tell you though, it does frustrate me a little bit when everyone go like, listen, Dr. Dre is a GOAT. Like he's obviously Dr. Dre. But sometimes when people start getting too loose in the like, yo, he's clearly the best ever, there are times when I'm like, he had a rough spot that lasted a minute.
Rough spots don't compare to the fucking fire he made.
Well, true. Does it compare? True.
He fucking everyone hits, you know, a rough patch. Does not compare. His fire is.
But we have. Listen, he's Dr. Dre, okay? He's Dr. Dre. He's as good as it gets producer-wise. But, man, you sometimes have to work to not take away points for the rapping. Like, sometimes you have to go, let me not take away points where you should have just let this go. But why did this in my head? Why was this in my head? I don't know. I was thinking about soundtracks yesterday. Lastly, the most important thing we have to do before we go. I posted a picture yesterday on Instagram.
That's disgusting.
And I went to go look at it later, see what my likes were like. Oh, people like this picture? And Syfe writes, I hate everything about this picture.
I helped your engagement.
Which by the way encourages fucking Ebro to add one mad late on super schlub status. Laughing face. This shirt costs more than your life, you fucking hype beast.
Okay, you want to break this picture down?
So let me tell you why I think you hate it.
My many reasons.
But you have to tell me how many reasons you have first. Tell me how many.
Okay, you want me to count right now?
Don't say what they are. Just tell me how many.
I mean, I'm already in double digits.
No.
Yeah, but go ahead. We'll say all right. I'll say 10.
Okay, well, then you just maybe just dislike me. Let me start with there. You dislike me, the person in the photo.
Some of the things in my list of 10 are more. It's not technically in the picture, but it's what it represents.
Okay. You hate Chauncey's flip flops.
Disgusting. Fucking disgusting.
Do you hate that Chauncey's sitting cross-legged like that?
Okay, yes, and his fucking lanky-ass legs, whoever this Chauncey is. And, hold on. Go ahead. It's your game. You guess.
Do you hate why is he holding the plate that way?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I imagine you hate that Natalie's dog, Rocky, is up on a chair like that.
A dog, yeah. That's her dog.
Just a dog.
Does her dog get along with your dog?
Yeah, okay, they're cool. Yeah. So I'm at 4.
Dog is like kind of like trying to look tough.
Yeah, it's a very cute picture of the dog, but yeah, okay. He's like staring straight back
like
at the camera.
Like, I feel like he's posturing.
Obviously the number one thing for me that I know you hate is that my jeans are pulled up in the picture.
Oh my god, I was going to say I hate your long shorts. But you're telling me those are jeans pulled up.
Oh. Yes. But I wasn't walking around with them pulled up. When we sat down, it got so sticky and hot and it's wet on the ground and I just naturally pulled my pants up.
Why didn't you
just
wear shorts?
I just wanted leg. I don't know. It was a terrible choice. I just made a bad choice.
See, because
that's
if you're looking at Rosenberg's Instagram and you see this picture right before that, there's like a golf thing happening. Or was it after that? Somewhere there's a golf thing.
And I wore long pants there, too.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was wearing too many long pants this week. I mean, that's a problem. All right. So I know you hate that, the pants being pulled up. Do you hate my tie-dye shirt?
I do hate your shirt, yes.
And I love that. It's my favorite current wrestling shirt that I own.
I hate your shirt. You know what? You know what?
That's seven.
You know what? I don't hate your shirt.
Hmm. Shirt's kind of fire, bro.
No, okay. I hate his shirt.
I didn't know. His shirt. Why do you hate his shirt?
Generic white boy shirt. Short t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, like, so you hate
no
his shirt.
Logo. Like, where did he get this? You know what I mean? Like,
do you hate my face, the face that I'm making in the picture because I'm eating?
Oh, are you like mid-chew?
Yeah, like mid-chew.
You look like...
All right, what else?
You look like how the dog, like you're a gangster in the 40s and you're like, yeah, she. And the dog is like, yeah, she.
All right.
Okay.
So what else? I only
say,
got to eight.
Chinatown with Chauncey. First of all, I hate that his name is Chauncey. I hate that his name is Chauncey.
But you've definitely heard his name previous to this.
I
but okay.
In your life? I can't.
Yeah. You definitely have.
I must have thought he was a black guy. I never met a white Chauncey before. Also, you say you're in Chinatown.
Go ahead.
Oh, you know what? Oh, wow. From looking at this picture quickly, it looks like you're sitting by the water. But now I notice that you're not.
No, we're not near the water.
Like a kind of like a pier. You know where you were, so you don't see it. Now that I zoomed in, I see you're not. I see you're outside, like in front of a building. But it looked like you were on the water.
No, we're on a closed street in Chinatown where there's no traffic.
You're eating outside. Like,
we had the dog
like eating. It's not like they served you outside. It looks like you're eating to go food.
No,
you see what I'm saying? Like, you got the food to go, but then you just let's eat it right here.
No, and by the way, that's not what happened.
That's how it looks.
Yo, Sife, it went to one of those Chinatown places where they literally hate you for going to the restaurant and they treat you like shit. And all the people outside, they serve with to-go bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah,
that's bullshit. They served us with that crap, but it was delicious.
Okay. Yeah, this Chauncey guy, who's he? He's from he's your college friend?
No, high school. He's one of my best friends ever.
My problem overall with this is, see, you don't stay consistent.
Go ahead.
You don't stay consistent. You just put out an album that the streets is loving.
Streets love it.
Yo, I got a message from somebody. I don't remember who it was. He was like, please send me the clean edits. Please, you Rosenberg talked about the clean edits on One Up. Can you send it to me? And I almost forwarded it to him, and I was like, oh, hold on. Maybe Rosenberg doesn't want me to just...
Oh, I don't
care.
Okay,
well, yeah.
Give them to anyone.
But like, he's like, please send me the clean edits. I want to support. I want to represent. Mm-hmm. You have an album. You just put out the Summer Jam announcement. Wait, is that Conway? The actual Conway? Like,
yeah.
He's not even on your album.
Nope. He's just on the set. He's just on the real late set.
You have a set at Summer Jam with Flea Lord, Conway, the girl.
Stove God.
The girl.
Vel the Wonder and Rock Marcy.
In a month's time, you're going to be performing at Summer Jam with all these dope fucking artists that talk about street shit.
That's
this
right.
This is your Prodigy ballerina picture. This is what if they pull this up? You think you're going to get another album hanging out with this flip-flop freak? You think people are going to be on your album? Huh? You think they're going to respect? Flea Lord and Rock Marciano are looking at this like, what did we do? What did we do?
Sife, that should have been your comment, by the way. This is your ballerina, your Prodigy ballerina photo.
But it's not from back in the day. It's current. It's like
current.
If Prodigy put on a tutu today. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Mobb Deep third album and Prodigy put on a tutu. That's what that picture is. Not as a child today. It's horrible.
Yo, but you know what? Everything you said was valid. The only thing I'm mad at, and this is so typical, I'm just mad at Ebro's comment now.
And also,
schlub status.
Yeah, not, I don't know what the schlub status is. And also,
it's not schlub status. My shirt, that shirt is fire.
Your lady, I can't take it. I can't take it. She's beautiful. I can't.
Really? I mean, I know, but where are you seeing it?
She didn't want you to take the little video, and she's like, "No, not now. I look like garbage." Does she have any sisters or cousins or anything?
She has an older sister.
Older sister.
Younger than us.
What's her sister about? What's her life about?
I don't want to get into her sister's personal life. I mean,
she available?
She's available.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Okay. Jewish?
Wait, hold on. Aren't
hey,
you?
Hey. Luis Diaz. Okay. Upstairs, Luis Diaz. That's an issue. But downstairs, Cypher Sounds.
Woo! Ouch, yeah. All right, guys. Keep their heads ringing. Thank God it's Friday.
The people under the stairs is out here fucking, okay?
That's how it works? That's how it works. And,
hey, thank y'all so much for supporting Juan Ep is Life. Let me say something real quick, and I should have said this in the beginning. In the last month and a half or so, I started taking all my little stand-up crowd work and freestyle moments that I do on stage every single night, and I've been posting it on TikTok and Reels, and the love I'm getting, bro, the love I'm getting from all my fucking rap fans that abandoned me when I went to the comedy world, that you fuckers abandoned me. So
they're back now.
Bro, it's my fault. I wasn't showing them what I do. I wasn't showing them what I do, man. I don't want to give up my material. People are like, oh, this is all crowd work. Tell a developed joke. Yeah, come to the club. Come to the club and pay for that. But for
do people tell you that? Is that a comment people make?
A couple haters, whatever. But the love I'm getting, man, the Wind Up love, the Hot 97 love, people like, wow, you really do this for real. Wow, you really are into this. You left for a reason. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking awesome. And then I always say this, Chris Rock is the one who got me an audition at the Comedy Cellar, which in turn turned into me being at the Comedy Cellar, led to a lot of other things. Chris Rock is back around working on new material. So if you want to maybe see Chris Rock, come to the Comedy Cellar or Village Underground. I can't guarantee he'll be there, but he's been around a lot lately. So we do a show, me and Will. We took over Tuesday nights. We call the show The Chemistry Set. And I got my DJ set up. And I knew Chris Rock was coming out next. So I go, yo, I'm going to give you a hint on who's coming on stage next. And I take Rob Bass, It Takes Two, and I just start cutting up. I want to rock.
Did they figure it out, you think, or no?
Because like, he walked from the back, so the back starts cheering, then the middle starts cheering, and then he gets on stage, and the front row goes fucking crazy. It was the moment of pure. What I'm trying to do is combine my hip hop shit with my comedy shit, and that was like a pure impromptu moment. So you want more of that? Come fuck with the Syph. You know what I mean?
Woo!
Come fuck with the Syph.
And did you think about I Want to Rock right now?
What do you mean, like Pookie?
Yeah, think about it. That's what we were saying. Same thing we said about the song. I want to rock now. Right now. Hey guys. Check it out. Catch you next week, y'all.
I'm not here next week.
Jump on that Patreon if you want to hear the full Pete Rock. Billy June, thank you. Good job, bud. Well, we're going to have to be. You're going to have to be.
Season one over. Season one's done. Catch you next season, guys.
That's the end of season one.
Peace.
judge a book by the cover. Discover the soul brother with the Mechadon, working brunette to blonde. How many Edison con when I respond in full black? With us heaven to Vernon villains back to back. Amazing grace when I face the great paper chase. For real, it's long.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.